In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I'm looking at Sunday's readings, the 28th Sunday, in ordinary time. If you know me, I don't like to call it ordinary time because it's supernatural. It's the time of grace. Grace being extended to every person. Grace to the Lord Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. So I look at the first reading. It's from Isaiah 25. On this mountain, it's Mount Zion where the temple is, the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples the feast of rich foods and choice wines, juicy, rich food and pure choice wines. Listen to the next. On this mountain, he will destroy the veil that veils all peoples. That happened at Calvary. Mount Calvary, the web that is woven over all nations. That has happened at Calvary. He will destroy death forever. He gave death on Calvary a death punch, but he will complete it when he comes in glory. No more death. The Lord will wipe away the tears from every face. Do you know that? That your tears are being wiped away by the Lord himself. The reproach of his people he will remove from the whole earth, for the Lord has spoken. On that day it will be said, "Behold our God to whom we look to save us." That's Jesus. "This is the Lord for whom we looked. Let us rejoice and be glad that he has saved us." How? "For the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain," Mount Calvary, where he destroyed the web that covers the nations, and he will destroy death forever, ultimately when he comes in glory as the judge of the living and the dead. I'm reading the second reading. It's, "I know," Paul says, "how to live," Philippians, "in humble circumstances. I know also how to live with abundance in every circumstance. And in all things I have learned the secret of being well fed and going hungry, of living in abundance and living in need." So Paul tells us, you know, it doesn't matter to him whether he's got a feast or is really hungry. "I can do all things in him who strengthens me." Do you believe that? That you can do all things in him, in Jesus, who strengthens you. I believe that. I have seen it. You know, I've given my Lord the little fish and loaves that I have, and I've seen it multiplied. What about you? You can do all things in Jesus who strengthens you. "Still, it was kind of you to share in my distress. My God will fully supply whatever you need in accord with his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." You know that. He will fully supply whatever you need in accord with his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To God our Father, glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. God will fully supply whatever you need in accord with his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. What are the riches in Christ Jesus? Infinite riches in his death, burial, and resurrection, in his precious blood. I'm reading from Matthew 22:1-14. Jesus again in reply spoke to the chief priests and elders of the people in parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son." First of all, you have to realize a wedding feast in the Middle East is not like it is in the West. It's all about the groom. It's not about the bride. It's the groom who comes after his bride. "He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests,
to the feast, but they refused to come. Sounds like the Jewish people. A second time he sent other servants, saying, Tell those invited, Behold, I have prepared my banquet, my calves, my fattened cattle, and they're all killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast. Some ignored the invitation and went away. One to his farm, another to his business, and the rest laid hold on the servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops to destroy those murderers and burn their city. Then he said to his servants, The feast is ready. Oh, yes, the Eucharistic feast is ready. But those who are invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find. The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to meet the guests, he saw a man not dressed in a wedding garment. Now the wedding garments were at the door. He didn't put it on. The king said to him, My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment? But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to the attendants, Bind his hands, bind his feet, and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are called, but few are chosen. I tell you, this king is preparing to come as the bridegroom of the church. And I also want to tell you, the Jewish people said no then, but St. Paul said every Jewish person will be saved. There will be a proclamation to the Jews, and they will come to know the Messiah. That's already happening in Jerusalem. The Lord is appearing in sleep to many Jewish people, and they go to the priest and says, We have to hide, because if they ever found out, we're going to be killed. But the priests instruct them and tell them all about Jesus. This is real. These things are real, and these things are happening now. I'm going back to Mark 11:12. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see whether perhaps he would find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, May no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard it. He cursed the fig tree. What does the fig tree represent? It represents Israel. Jesus cleanses the temple. This is the nail that caused Jesus to be crucified, because the Jewish people, had great respect for the temple, and Jesus calls it a butchery. Then they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling and those who were buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. He was teaching and saying, It is written, is it not written, that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. And when the chief priests and the scribes heard it, they kept looking for a way to kill him. Now that he's turning over tables in the temple. He's saying, No, this is not a butchery. This is a place of prayer. Same with our churches. They're places of prayer. Not having fun. We can have fun praying. We can have fun dancing in front of the Lord. But, you know, it's not for us to not pray. The church is meant to pray. For they were afraid of him because the whole crowd was spellbound by his teaching. And when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. When Peter remembered and said to him, "Teacher, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass, it will be done. So I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it already, and it will be yours." When we were at St. Edward's, I believed that God was healing the people. I believed he was healing necks and rotary cuffs and backs, and I believed he was healing knees and legs and stomachs. I believed it, and so we saw it. Believing that God said, Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." And in the kingdom, there is no want. The kingdom is heaven. That heaven would seep in to our churches. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you for your trespasses. Yes, we need to forgive. And I told you, get under a crucifix and ask the Lord that you would borrow his forgiveness. And he will give you his forgiveness. And you will forgive the people who have hurt you terribly. You do not want to carry them to the grave, because they are not hurt by your unforgiveness. You are being hurt by your unforgiveness. Again, they came to Jerusalem. As he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and scribes and the elders came to Jesus and said, "By what authority are you doing these things?" They are really stupid. They are really stupid. "Who gave you this authority?" to them. Jesus said to them, "I will ask another question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin? Answer me." They argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why then did you not believe him?' If you say of human origin, they were afraid of the crowds, for all regarded John as a true prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Then neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." We know that he's doing these things by the power of God. We know that he's doing these things by the power of God. Chapter 12. Then he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a pit for the winepress, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and came to another country. When the season came, he sent a slave to the tenants to collect from them the share of his produce of the vineyard. But they seized the servant. They beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And again he sent another servant, another slave to them. And this one they beat over the head and insulted him. Then he sent another, and this one they killed. These are the prophets. And so it was with many others. Some they did beat, others they did kill. He had still one more, a beloved son. Finally he sent him to them, that's Jesus, saying, "They will respect my son." But those tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him. In the inheritance will be ours."
So they seized him, killed him, and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come to destroy these tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read the scripture? The stone which the builders rejected, that's Jesus, has become the cornerstone. That's the stone that holds the whole arch together. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. When they realized that he had told his parable against them, they wanted to arrest Jesus, but they feared the crowd, so they left him and went away. Why did they fear the crowd? Because crowds were coming to hear him teach, and crowds were coming to be healed. They feared the crowd because they knew that the crowd would respond. They have to seize Jesus when there's no crowd around. They have to seize Jesus when he's with the disciples, and that's exactly what happens. Verse 13 of chapter 12. Then they sent to him some Pharisees and Herodians to trap him in what he said. And they came and said to him, Teacher, we know that you are sincere and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor? See, they want to confuse Jesus. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Should we pay them or should we not pay them? But knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, Why are you putting me to the test? Bring me a denarius and let me see it. And they brought one. Then he said to them, Whose head is this and whose title? They answered, The emperor, Caesar. Jesus said to them, Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and give to God the things that are God's. And they were utterly amazed. What belongs to God? I tell you, everything belongs to God. Everything that we have belongs to God. If we have talents, that belongs to God. He gave them to us. But that's why we've got to be grateful. And gratefulness is a great attribute to have, because God wants his children to be grateful with him and to him. Why? Because gratitude is high on the prayer schedule. Are you grateful for what you have? I had 3 eggs this morning. I'm grateful, thank you, Lord, that I had that with 2 pieces of toast. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm grateful that I'm able to speak with you. I'm grateful that I'm able to speak with you. Why am I grateful? I'm grateful because God has given me the gift to be grateful to God's people. I'm reading from the question about the resurrection. We're on radio. Some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to Jesus and asked him the question, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. There were 7 brothers. The first married and then died, and they left no children. The second married her and died, leaving no children. The third likewise, none of the 7 left children. Last of all, the woman herself died. In the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? See, they're trying to trick Jesus. You're not going to trick Jesus. He's the Lord. He's the truth. Last of all, the woman herself died. In the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? For the 7 had married her. Jesus said to them, Is it not this the reason you are wrong, that you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God? Oh, yes. the scriptures and the power of God. They come together. The scriptures and the power of God. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are they given in marriage, but they are like the angels in heaven. And as for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the story about the bush, God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is the God not of the dead, but of the living. You are quite wrong. Yes, they want to trip Jesus up. Why? Because they are afraid of him. Who is he speaking to? Sadducees. They are sad, you see, because they do not believe in the resurrection. Pharisees believed in the resurrection and in angels. So we see paying taxes and the question of the resurrection. I thank you for listening around every day at this time, proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What have we heard today? That you, no matter what problem you have, it's going to be solved if you trust in the Lord. It's you that God wants you to know that you are his chosen child, and whatever you have has come from him, and we need to be grateful to what God has given us. What else have we learned today? We learned that Jesus is the capstone, that everything falls apart without Jesus. Oh yes, he holds all things together. Is he Lord of your life today? Have you given him your life today? I don't know about you, but I'm going to give him my life again today, right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my preaching. I give you my stories. I give you everything that I have been given. I give you thanks because you are a wonderful God. In Jesus' name. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I need to hear from you so we can pay our bills. InSeason.net, and then go to PayPal. I want to invite you to the Days of Glory between the 9th and 12th of November at Crown Plaza, Holiday Inn in Woburn. Days of Glory between the 9th and the 12th of November at the Crown Plaza, Holiday Inn in Woburn. And the telephone number of the Crown Plaza is 781-935-8760. That's 781-935-8760. Between the 9th and the 12th of November, the Days of Glory, we will have a good time. There will be worship and praise and much worship and much praise and the proclamation of the blood of Jesus. He cleanses us from sin. He makes us righteous by His precious blood. May God bless you today and may you be generous to the Lord. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.